Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning. This is Bruce Hall. I'm here with Matt Lynch. And we're going to take you through Bruce Hall's Second Opinion today. Matthew, how you doing? You were doing all right until I got a little political with you here a second ago. We're not even going to talk about it. I was just reading something I read online, and it made sense to me. And Matt goes, well, you do what you need to do.
I was busy getting caught up in my own wires here.
Matt's been microphone checking because he's going to be on the show from time to time today. And I got to tell you,
if I'm on, it has to sound good.
Well, it does sound. It already sounds better. I think if I had Roy on now, this is what we would be hearing.
So where is Roy today?
He's in Morgantown, West Virginia, as far as I know still. He went up there, and I'm pretty sure he did not have the nears. If he took them, it was something done at the last minute, because he would have let everybody know if he was on them plus 19.5 points. And he was worried about Oklahoma State because they have a pretty good team. And evidently, they went into Morgantown. And after West Virginia University got destroyed last week in the rain in Baltimore against the University of Maryland, they got it together. And I'll give Dana Holgorsen and his staff credit. They had them ready. They totally outplayed Oklahoma State. I think, you know, the Oklahoma State guy is the guy you've got somewhere. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I still have no idea who that is.
That's Mike Gundy. He's the head coach at Oklahoma State University. And, you know, he's still there, so he's doing a good job. But one of our NCAA coaches isn't doing so well this morning. His name's Lane Kiffin, the son of Monty Kiffin, a guy that in most people that are Monty Kiffin's age are starters at golf clubs in retirement communities. And Monty is still coaching. He's the Dallas Cowboys, you know, defensive coordinator, and he's doing a hell of a job because the Cowboys look like they're the team to beat in the NFC East. And, you know, I hate to say that because I'm a Washington Warrior fan or a Washington NFL football fan. And, yeah, I'll say it once in a while, the Washington Redskins. Mike, I'm trying to be a good follower, but, you know, I just don't think you're going to, you know. If it's going to be a while till the Redskins have to change their name. But evidently, it's all right to call Indians Redskins. Unlike a lot of names that people are called, you know, that are of certain, you know.
That we won't say on the air.
We won't say on the air, but you can imagine what they are. The one I do like to say is shysters. And that's basically a connotation for lawyers, but more so Jewish lawyers, which Dan Snyder knows tens of thousands of, because there's that many of them, and the fact that he usually likes to go to court. But I'll say this: the one thing that Dan Snyder didn't do that I was surprised he backed off of was when the league came out last year and said, well, actually it was more than a year ago, it was almost 2 years ago, after they went through without a salary cap because they didn't have the language. They basically played without a contract, and they said, you know, nobody, and they were very, very vague in the way that they said it. But they said nobody should take advantage of this situation to, you know, and that was basically what they said, to run it up. I don't know what the exact language was, but it was very, very, you could read it two or three different ways. But only two people, according to John Mara, who is God, evidently, in the NFL, he's the president, I guess, or CEO of the New York Giants, and the uncle of Rooney Mara, who I happen to think is wonderful. She was the girl that won the Academy Award in The Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. And her great-grandfather on her mother's side is Art Rooney, who is the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And her uncle and is John Mara, who, you know, you could arguably say he's one of the owners because he is. Mara family's owned the Giants for years and years. Back to the point, Matt says. He's giving me hand signals. Well, you know what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to set this up. But anyway, my point is this. Only Jerry Jones and Dan Snyder were penalized. And Dan Snyder was penalized. And this doesn't sound like a lot until you're looking at your roster after an 0-3 start and going, no wonder we suck. We couldn't spend $16 million of cap money last year or this year. I'm sorry, $18 million. It was $36 million total over a two-year period. You know what? That would buy some pretty good defensive backs. That kind of money.
And it makes you hate Dan Snyder just a little bit more to know that he had his only advantage, which is he has a lot of money, working for him 3 years ago and still couldn't get us to the Super Bowl.
No, and what he did also was put us in a situation by drafting Robert Griffin. Now, nobody's going to say that was a bad move, but we did, you know, it wasn't like we didn't pay for it. It's kind of like going... You know, it's kind of like having your wedding at the homestead, you know? You know, it's a beautiful wedding, but, you know, you're going to pay for it. You just are. You know, it was perfectly fine until you did that. Am I good?
Okay, so let's just go like that.
All right.
Boom, boom.
So anyway, here's the deal. Everybody thought that was my voice, probably. You know, and I'm not coaching wrestling this year. I'm not coaching high school wrestling. So starting in November, my voice will be there every Sunday morning. Yeah. Fortunately or unfortunately. Fortunate for our good listeners, bad for the ones that I get mad at me. There are some great NFL games today, and there were some great NCAA games yesterday, and we're going to go over those here in a few minutes. We've got some good people on today. We got Sean Salisbury, who's going to come on every week. When he can, which is going to, knowing Sean, it's every week. Because I'm one of the few hosts that love taking a cell phone call out of somebody's car while they're driving, because some of the best conversations I've ever had in my life. And people listening to the show, tell me I'm wrong, okay? Give us a call at 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. Tell me you haven't had some of the best conversations you've ever had while you're driving 6 hours, because if your phone is juiced or you have it plugged in with your little plug-in device in your car, you can literally, and I'm hands-free now because I got a 2010 Yukon as opposed to a 2002 Suburban now that I'm driving around. But when you're hands-free and you're talking to somebody and you're getting into some serious conversation, you really can think better when you're driving 80 to 90 miles an hour down a road. Here's the problem, though. You get to a certain point, and you don't even remember the drive, which leads me to believe that your subconscious takes over the driving and really does pay attention, even though you might be using hands to gesture and, you know, to make gestures in the car, and you're talking, and maybe you're looking at the road a lot, and maybe you're not, but you know,
I will never drive with you.
You're not the only one.
To know that you basically black out whenever you have a conversation.
Well, I got to tell you something. There are conversations you have where you don't notice anything around you. But that is a great time to do it. But I love listening to Sean anytime. You know, it's especially Saturday nights. Now, he's got to be, you know, today he's going to be on for two segments probably. But the thing with it is that Sean's going to probably, I don't know if he was a Kiffin fan or not a fan. My son went to the University of Tennessee when Kiffin got the job there. And as soon as Kiffin got the job at the University of Tennessee, this had to be 5 years ago, the kids had T-shirts that said, "My coach's wife is hotter than your coach's wife." She's evidently a Playboy, former Playboy bunny or something. And if she's not, she should be. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. I'm Bruce Hall. We've got Matt Lynch here on the box, and he's got the headphones and the microphone in front of him. Good morning, Matt.
I always have headphones on.
Hey, by the way, you're so happy when I come because I bring food. I bring food. I bring drinks. You know what I didn't bring today? And, Matt, if it looks like I just start spacing out, just throw something heavy at my head because it means I'm not on the caffeine fix this morning. I left all of my coffee in the car, and I didn't feel like going back to get it.
I'll have to get my defibrillator out.
Well, you know, the thing that Matt says is, you know, a lot of people that I meet that know my show and know me a little bit but have heard me say that if I'm in a crowd, they know it's me. Now, that's good and bad. That means, A, they recognize my voice, which is a good thing, and B, I'm probably being a little too loud if I'm being heard by everybody.
My guess is you get a lot of looks in church.
You know, that would be a mistake. I would need to go to church for that matter. And by the way, I am a Christian and I do believe in God, and I'll leave it at that, man. I'm not gonna get on you about your atheism or anything about it. But I gotta tell you, I bought this really cool book waiting for I can't say this. Carol might be listening on the phone. For my testosterone at the pharmacy. I'm one of those guys that because of the nature of just how bad I was my whole life, I guess. My testosterone levels dropped to almost zero. So it's really weird how men put that on their body. It has to go actually on through your skin. And you're reading all this stuff about, and I don't know how I got on that. Hey, but anyway, hey, we'll talk about testosterone later in the show because we're going to talk about the lack of testosterone by certain NFL football teams. And one thing that Sean and I are going to talk about briefly, and you can call in anytime you want, 240-317-7294. Tell me what you want me to talk to Sean about, because one thing that he talks about on Twitter is you know, the fact that the art of tackling is going away. Nobody tackles anymore. Let me tell you.
Everybody hits. Nobody tackles.
Well, they don't even hit sometimes. They kind of reach. They go for the big hit, and the problem with the big hit, but here's the thing. That's because they have helmets on. If you didn't have a helmet on, you would be see guys pretty much trying to wrap up like rugby. If you're playing rugby is a great game, by the way. And if you're playing rugby, if you notice, all they got are maybe a few shin guards on. Some of the guys will wear shin guards but most of them don't wear anything except a long sleeve shirt with a collar on it, a pair of shorts that are like heavy duty shorts that hang down to at least almost their knees. And, you know, knee socks and cleats. But the cleats don't have metal. They're rubber cleats like soccer cleats. And in rugby, if you tackle a guy like you see good tackles on TV in football, they walk up kindly to you, the referee, and goes, because this happened to me my first game that I ever played rugby in 1977, I think. They go, oh, mate, that was a great hit. Unfortunately, I have to ask you to go sit down. Your game is over. And they have to play one man short. And I did that in about the middle of the second half of a game. And we barely won. And when the game was over, everybody's like, man, you can't do that. And I'm like, well, tell me what I can and can't do next time you ask me to play a rugby game. I thought I nailed the guy. I knocked the guy like 5 yards out of bounds. I hit him on the field and his legs flew up and he went out of bounds. And I thought, great hit.
You see all the
can't do that in rugby. No, you cannot. You have to wrap them up, or at least make a good attempt to wrap them up.
I never knew that because I've watched all the highlights on YouTube whenever they have
rugby
some amazing ones.
It's a phenomenal game, and they have women's rugby and women's they do. They have in a lot of colleges across the country, Division I, II, and III, and in a lot of towns they have women's rugby teams. And I'm telling you, those girls love it. Now the thing about women is they're not going to go quite as fast, so it's a little safer for them to hit. Men, I mean, a lot of these rugby players are former college football players, or they're former high school football players. They're just really good athletes, and some of them are just big fat guys that like to drink. And as far as I'm concerned, that's good. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You're the ticket guy. You have to get me tickets to a women's rugby match.
Yeah, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think there's ever been a ticket sold to a women's rugby match. I don't even think that there is actually women's rugby. You know what? people in New York would know this. There's a lot of good women's colleges in New York. If you know of a women's rugby club or you know of a women's rugby team, give us a call at 240-317-7294. Tell us the name of the team. Tell us how to get in touch with somebody there if they wanted to play on the women's rugby team. And also, find out if men are allowed to try out for the women's rugby team. Because I think there may be a few guys who might want to do that.
That seems like something you'd see on a T-shirt at Ocean City.
Yeah. You know, one of the things you'd see on a T-shirt. Got some great NFL games here. I'm going to go over some of these scores last night. Now, we talk about the NCAA all the time, Matt. And NCAA football is a freaking joke. It just is, okay? Because it's all about how bad you can beat up a team so you get X amount of points in the computer. You know, you put the scores in the computer. They figure out your schedule, you know, how hard your schedule is, and boom, at the end of the week, you know, after all the games are located, they've got the list of where you are in the BCS standings. Right now, Stanford looks like they're ranked number 5. They beat Cal, and Cal is just a whooping post this year. They beat them 55-16 yesterday. Oregon, and by the way, this is very interesting because Oregon was one of my releases yesterday, and I threw Oregon in my three-team teaser of the day. In the NCAA, they won 55-17. That was a 38-point win. And you know what the line on that was? 37.5. They covered. They did. They covered the point spread. And I got to thank Oregon for that 55-17 win. Fresno State came back. They were ranked number 25. Hawaii played them tough, lost 42-37. TCU. 48-17 winner over SMU. SMU, remember we were talking about the Redskins have like 5 SMU players. Well, great. Yeah, they got beat by 31 points by a TCU
squad. They got them in like a 3-for-1 deal, didn't they?
Yeah, TCU's still in Conference USA, I'm pretty sure. Miami of Ohio gets crushed by Illinois. Illinois is not ranked. Purdue, what a great – listen, Northern Illinois, who is in a smaller conference – but they are Division I. They beat up Purdue by 31 points. Purdue's in the Big Ten, but they're really, really not that good. They're not. I'm going to pull some more scores out here real quick.
How could you not have told me that before my mother-in-law just left? Because that whole family is Purdue, Michigan State, Ohio State. So to tell her that would have just crushed her.
You know, University of Maryland didn't play, evidently, yesterday. And like I said, we're hoping that Roy calls us sometime during the show. He'll wake up and hear all the messages and see all the tweets that I have left for him. Baseball is gearing down. Today is the last day of the Major League Baseball season. Today's it of the regular season. And, you know, if you haven't gotten 161 games in now and you're not playing a doubleheader today, you're pretty much done. They're going to have, I think, a day off. Then there's going to be a playoff game. They're getting ready for there. Obviously, it looks like the Pittsburgh Pirates have qualified for the playoffs, and they're going to be hosting the Cincinnati Reds and the Pirates. You got to give it to them. I mean, you know, this is a team that, you know, had their first winning season in many, many years. And, A lot of people are keeping their fingers crossed. They want Andrew McCutchen to win the MVP award in the National League. You can make an argument for him. You can also make an argument for a second baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals. I mean, these guys are awful good. And you know what I'm going to do, Matt? I'm going to do baseball first because I think once I start talking with Sean and Tony Mazur and a couple of guys about football, we're never going to get back to baseball. Except Tony is going to talk. He is going to talk to me. About the Cleveland Indians and how, you know, Cleveland's done everything wrong at times. And, you know, Jason Giambi ended up being the second guy to ever have a walk-off home run or something in the ninth inning of a Cleveland game, I guess. And, or maybe it was him permanently. Yesterday, the scores were pretty good. I released Texas yesterday. They won 7-4. They're probably going to win today too. I'm going to give away my picks for today. Take Texas today. They're going to win even if they sit one or two guys. Pittsburgh beat Cincinnati yesterday. Well, by a score of 8-3. That, you know, if you look at that game, you know, Bronson Arroyo seems to be running out of gas at the end of the season. Latos pitched a phenomenal game the other day. I watched it. It was a day game. He loses 1-0. For some reason, the bats have kind of gone silent. You know, they in Cincinnati, and it's not a big ballpark. I mean, it's a little bit of yard. Joey Votto's done a great job. McCutchen got his 84th RBI. Pedro Alvarez, who's his teammate, has 100 RBIs, and Marlon Byrd has 88 RBIs. So the problem that you have if you're trying to get Kutch, you know, that MVP award, is he's got guys on his own team that have got actually some better numbers than him, and there's some guys on other teams that do too. However, he's a great defensive center fielder. He is the key to their entire team, and he's stolen almost 30 bases. I mean, he's got that going for him too. Walker hit two bombs yesterday, adding up to 16 for him on the year. Kutch hit his 21st off of Arroyo in the third inning. Alvarez hit his 36th home run. And Marlon Byrd, who they got – and Marlon Byrd, believe it or not, I mean, if you look Marlon Byrd up, and I would love you to do it just to give me his – I'm pretty sure Marlon Byrd's 37 or 38 years old. He is one hell of a baseball player. And he has played for more teams than you could ever imagine. But at the end of every season, when it comes time for the playoffs, Marlon Byrd, first of all, started with the Mets this year. Then he found his way to the, I want to say it was Kansas City Royals. And then they got rid of him, I think. And he ended up in Pittsburgh.
36.
He's 36 years old. That's not a young age for a player. But I'm going to tell you right now, Marlon Byrd is a young 36. He still runs good. I told the story about Marlon Byrd a long time ago. He gained a ton of weight because he got injured in college playing football, got up well over 300 pounds, got his weight back down to 230, 240, started playing baseball, and ended up being one of the top outfielders and top teammates in Major League Baseball. Marlon Byrd will find his way somewhere. I can tell you this. I think the San Francisco Giants are probably looking – at Marlon Byrd really strong because they need a left fielder. And, you know, Marlon runs fine for a left fielder, and he gets on base. You know, if you take a peek at it, like what Cincinnati, you know, they've got Sin-Soo Choo, center fielder. He's actually up for the award. Joey Votto is an MVP candidate, but he's probably not going to get it this year because Phillips pretty much drove in more runs than he did, even though he's only hitting 261. Joey Votto's hitting 306. His on-base percentage is like 440. If you follow me on Twitter, at Bruce Hall Sports, and a lot of you do because my numbers are gaining as we speak. That's at Bruce Hall Sports. Follow me. I retweet the best stuff you can possibly know about NFL, Major League Baseball, and college football all the time. And I also tweet some other stuff. Some of it's political, some of it's not. And some of it, I probably should go, oops, I shouldn't have hit that button. But I don't even care because that's one of the reasons I love living in the United States. You know, we have a right to free speech.
My guess is your wife isn't on Twitter, is she?
But my wife doesn't need to be on Twitter. She's too busy as it is.
That's why you feel so confident. In what
absolutely, absolutely. I have a lot more spare time than Carol. My wife works way too hard to be on Twitter. And, you know, every once in a while, she'd be worried about what she can and can't say. I like Facebook. Facebook's a great place to meet people. I drop a lot of, you know, information on my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, and Bruce Hall Sports Facebook page. But anyway, if you look at – I picked Cincinnati. I picked the Reds at the start of the season. Well, actually, at the start of the season, I picked the San Francisco Giants and the Detroit Tigers to return to Major League to the World Series. And guess what? I was half right. The other half I totally missed. But at the All-Star game, I picked the Cincinnati Reds to do it. And I'm going to tell you, the Reds, they can still do it. They got to win that play-in game, though. If they don't win the play-in game, it's going to be over for the Reds. I don't want them to beat Pittsburgh. I want Pittsburgh to win. I want them to win the division championship, and I want them in the World Series. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. I'm here with Matt Lynch. Just talked to Roy via text, and Roy is awake, but he's not in Morgantown. Evidently, federal authorities have taken him to the lockup they have in Ocean City, Maryland, on the beach. And he's there, and I'm pretty sure he's there. It's just he's there for a family get together for a couple of days, and he'll be calling in pretty soon if he indeed decides to. You never know with a text, you know what I mean? You really don't know what kind of shape he's in, because if you listened last week, he was fun last week. He really was. We had a great show last week, but half of it was me laughing just looking at his head fall down to the table.
It wasn't that bad. We can't.
It was pretty bad.
This is theater of the mind, and you don't want to give too bad of an impression about Roy.
Oh, he was hilarious.
People rely on his expertise on some things. So.
Yeah, give me one thing they rely on his expertise with. Anyway, if he had the West Virginia Mountaineers yesterday, he's one of the few people in the country that gave it to him. But they totally outplayed. Outplayed. I mean, that's putting it mildly. I mean, they
dominated.
Yeah, they dominated him until towards the end of the game. But NCAA football is such a funky thing anyway. I mean, Alabama was in my big three-team teaser. I had them straight up. They ended up, they kicked like six field goals, and I think they only had one touchdown the entire game. That was a long run that was broken with a little change of direction and in reverse pivot. But Alabama still looks like the team to beat. I mean, and I got to say this for Ole Miss. If you watch that Alabama-Ole Miss game, of course, there was a lot better game on yesterday afternoon. Georgia LSU was on. That was incredible. I taped that and watched about two-thirds of it last night. You don't really see that much non-defense in an SEC game very often, but the talent level on the offensive side of the ball for both of those teams was incredible. I watched Johnny Manziel with Texas A&M play a little bit yesterday. They kind of kept it close to their vest. They won pretty big yesterday. Just a lot of good teams out there playing some great ball. University of Virginia got crushed. My alma mater, excuse me, and if you follow me on Facebook, that's Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. You'll see that I was doing my student teaching, which you do, you know, your last semester or two of college, in 1975, and at Farmville Central High School, which is 20 miles from Greenville, which is where East Carolina is. And I ended up coaching their wrestling team with their head coach. They had a coach, but he knew about as much about baseball as I know about women's rugby. Okay, I mean it. But he was a great baseball coach. His name was Linwood Woodard. And Linwood, if you're listening, you did a great job. One of the nicest guys I ever met in my life. But it was really weird. The kids back then would drive buses. I swear to God, they did. They were like 16, 17-year-old kids. They're driving buses, school buses, so we couldn't start practice until after all the buses came back, because I bet half my team drove school buses. And we started practice, I want to say, close to 5 o'clock every day. So we had practice run until about 7, and I got back to Greenville 8:30. And it was tough, but I was only there 5 or 6 weeks. We ended up winning the district, which had never been done by one of their wrestling teams. Great team, and Milt Sherman, who's probably listening to this show, he was the recipient of second place that year, and it was pure luck that we beat him anyway. I don't even think I had but one or two champions, but we had almost everybody in the finals, and I had such a good time. That was a great time back then, but that was 1975. That's the last year that East Carolina University ever beat the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. And trust me, I was at all of the games there when I lived down there. And we had some close ones, but it wasn't close yesterday. The East Carolina Pirates, behind Coach Ruff, and just some great defensive. I could talk about the QB. I can't even remember his name, But, I mean, he's a great quarterback, did a great job yesterday. I want to say he scored three on the ground and threw three or four touchdown passes. Score was 55-31. Unbelievable game. I went out and played golf yesterday with a good friend of mine, and we had a great time. But I left the game, like, in the second half, and I'm kind of glad I did. Even though I taped it, I didn't see it. But that was one of the biggest wins that East Carolina will ever have, because we have been the bastard child of the University of North Carolina and the state of North Carolina in general when it comes to college educations. Yeah. No, seriously.
Yeah, yeah. Wake Forest. Well, no, but UNC, no,
yeah, but there's a lot of UNC slash Wilmington, UNC slash Pembroke. Yeah. We are actually, East Carolina is part of the University of North Carolina network. But anytime we ever wanted to even talk about getting into the Atlantic Coast Conference, it's like, East Carolina, Atlantic Coast Conference?
Well, you know.
Well, guess what? You know, we can definitely play football in that conference, and I can tell you this, even though you were ranked number one in baseball quite a bit of last year, we can hang with you on the baseball diamond too. Oh, now we might not be able to play basketball with you yet, but from what I understand in Greenville, they're building a big complex where they're going to be able to put rock concerts on and all kinds of stuff. If that's not happening, I'm putting that out there that this is what should be happening. And there's going to be a time. Now we're not in Conference USA anymore. You know, this will be our last year in Conference USA playing football. We're in the new AA. AAC, which is the old Big East, starting next year. And there's totally different people in that than in Conference USA. But by going into that better conference where we get more money, okay, mm-hmm. for being in that conference, we've basically bi-stepped the ACC. There's a lot of talk. You remember the guy that we had, the dude, you know, that came up? There's a lot of talk that Maryland's already left. They've gone up. Yeah, and Duke won't even talk. They won't play Maryland basketball. Whatever. You know, it's Duke. Okay, I love Duke football.
I love Maryland, and I think Duke is right. I hate Duke, but I think they're right. They shouldn't play Maryland for leaving the ACC.
Now, you know what? That's not a good reason to not play somebody. But my point is this. You know, what Maryland did was they went to the Big Ten because they're getting paid. And also the Big Ten's agreed to pay their quote unquote penalty for leaving the ACC a year or two early. East Carolina, one day, in my opinion, the ACC will be talking to them about being in the ACC, and they may go, I don't think so. You know, because we like it here too much. No, actually, if there was ever a school that could be described as an Atlantic Coast Conference school, it has to be a college with a university with 25,000 undergraduates in it, a great medical school, great everything you can possibly imagine, and within an hour and a half of Morehead City and Atlantic Beach, and within 2 hours of Nag's Head. That is the Atlantic Coast we're talking about. We are on, besides Wilmington, North Carolina, there isn't another major college. And I can't even say UNC Wilmington is a major college, UNC, because they're not East Carolina University. People end up at UNC Wilmington because they either want to meet some hot girls or they want to surf. I mean, for the most part, that's about it.
That you just described the entire college experience.
Exactly.
Basically.
Well, why do you think they're making so much money down there? I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I almost called you Matt Flynn. I got Matt Lynch on the box, but what I should do is activate Matt Lynch for my fantasy football team today, and Matt will get me exactly 0 points.
Well, if he's playing against Washington.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, I got to tell you something. There was a lot of hustle.
If I didn't have Peyton, he'd be on my team.
Hey, we can talk about Roy today because he's not here. Listen, there was a little bit of hostility here about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I was screaming. We were screaming and hollering at each other. You know what it was about?
Fantasy football.
Fantasy football, because Roy, you know, as Roy does, you know, Roy's idea of letting – I'm not even the most organized guy in the world, Matt, I'll tell you that. I just brought in a new microphone and asked him to please put it together for me because I looked at it and it gave me a headache just looking at it. But Roy, you know, was setting up our thing with Yahoo, right? It's Yahoo Sports. Yes. And he was setting up our 12-team league for the station. You know, this is the station, you know, in Westchester. And the guy's down here. And he calls me. Like, wasn't this Memorial Day Saturday night? Yes, it was. It was Memorial Day Saturday night. And he calls me. I'm going out to celebrate my sobriety for 29 years by not drinking and just going out with my family and having fun. Roy calls me and goes, hey, man, draft's in half hour. I'm like, what?
That was an awesome Roy impression.
Yeah, well, that's what he sounds like. He said, hey.
All right, you need to do that more often.
Hey, we got the draft in a half an hour. You ready? Am I ready? What do you mean am I ready? I don't even know how to get on. Get your computer out. I'm going out to dinner, Roy. Oh. He goes, well, I sent an email around. Yeah, well, guess what? It must have gone on my spam because I didn't get it. Anyway, make a long story short, Roy and about three of his friends got to pick. Everybody like me and Matt, what did we do? We let the computer pick for us.
And thank you, computer.
See, Matt, see, that improved Matt's team. But I've already gotten beat once. I was trying to think who beat me. Was it you? No. It was Kyle. Kyle destroyed me. Now, they picked Kyle's team too.
All three of us, you, me, and Roy, are 2-1 right now. I'll be at 3-1 this week.
Yeah,
I'm playing Kyle.
I'm actually projected to lose by 5 or 6, but last week I was projected to lose and I won by like 40 points because of just a lot of fun stuff that was happening. Do you know, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened? Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. I'll be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I do have to make a quick correction. We're all tied at 2-1, but I am leading all of us by 10 points.
Now, how is that possible if we're all 2-1? I don't get it. I thought it was about
the entire season. I'm at 348. Roy's at 338, and you are at 328. I'm beating you by 20.
So is this? Yeah. Oh, you mean that's total points?
Total points from the season.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think that matters when it comes to the playoffs.
It does on radio, though.
Okay. Well, that means so Matt scored more points than me and Roy, and that is understanding. And I'm glad for Matt because Matt's, you know, even though he likes football, you know, it's not, soccer's his gig. He loves soccer.
Yes. And I have to say,
oh, by the way, is he playing again? Breck Shea?
Well, yeah, of course he is.
Well, I thought he was hurt. Somebody told me he was hurt. I think his aunt told me he was hurt. Anyway, hey, I'm going to go over a few pre-picks. Now, let me just say this. You know, right now, if you're a New York Jet and Giant or a Giant or Jet fan, you got to be a little concerned with what's going on. The circus, quote unquote, that was supposed to be the New York Jets this year, starting to look like, you know, they're functional. I really like them. As a matter of fact, I had them big time. I released them big time against the New England Patriots when they should have won that game in the rain. And there's no way they shouldn't have won that game. They should be 3-0 right now. The Giants, you can't even make an argument that they should have even won one game. The Giants are 0-3, and they may go to 0-4 because they're playing a pretty red-hot Kansas City Chief team in Arrowhead, which is one of the toughest places to play. It's not Seattle, because it's a lot warmer usually there, but it is red and it is loud. And I'm telling you, those people are so happy. They've won more games, the Kansas City Chiefs, at this point than they had all season last year when they went 2-14.
And I have to give it to you, and I told you at the beginning of this, before the show started, that you absolutely called it, that, you know, this is the year that Kansas City, they may not go to the, you know, Super Bowl or anything, but they're looking like a playoff team this year.
You know what, if they just finish with some consistency on both sides of the ball and on special teams, and if they can stay away from injuries a little bit. Like, they can't afford to have an Alex Smith hurt, and they can't afford to have, you know, a Jamal Charles hurt. They can't afford to have Eric Berry break another. You know, Eric Berry was out all season last year. I mean, he was out after the first game. He was done for the year.
This looks, though, like a well-coached team, not a hugely talented team, so it doesn't seem right. Like injuries could really hurt this team.
Well, they had five guys in the Pro Bowl last year. They had three linemen and a back and a defensive back. And this year, you know, those guys are starting to kind of get the people that are around them are filling in. And they do have good coaches. Andy Reid is a great coach. And let me tell you, when you go to Kansas City from Philadelphia, that's kind of like getting out of jail. Okay? And I hate to say that because Andy Reid's kids have been in jail. And one of them, unfortunately, died of an overdose in training camp last year. But Andy Reid... I've said this before. I've met the guy. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. He actually would talk to you about football for as long as you wanted to talk about it. He's a teacher by trade, pretty much. Unlike Mike Holmgren, he doesn't have a big ego. Mike Holmgren got in a lot of trouble the last couple of weeks. Now, a lot of people came on, including Sean Salisbury, and agreed with Mike. Mike said, yeah, you don't trade your best guy. Did you see what happened last week? What happened last week was Brian Hoyer, who, you know, was hand-picked pretty much and was in New England before, he ends up, he throws three picks, but he throws three touchdown passes, and Cleveland wins.
See, I don't know. I disagree. I think Mike Holmgren is probably the only sane man in an insane city.
Well, yeah, but you, you also people... think Barack Obama is a genius, so, you know. So you got to just stop there. And they're both teachers to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. One taught in high school, one allegedly taught at Harvard. I don't think he taught. I think he just showed up, got a paycheck, and left. Went back to the streets and had meetings.
Let's get back to football.
Exactly.
Okay. Mike Holmgren.
See, I can talk when Roy's not here because he's not allowed to talk politics.
No comment.
Hey, listen, let's do this. But anyway, Cleveland's looking better. Let's break everything down. I have in front of me, I have an envelope. No, this is Johnny Carson. I have the Week 4 NFL picks from Ravens game day, and it's Sunday, September 29th. And I got to tell you something. The only paper that's just as much fun to read as the Baltimore Sun on Sunday is the New York Post. The New York Post is phenomenal. The New York Post, that's the thing I really miss is getting cheap news, those papers and not having to pay $2 for them. But anyway, here's a game I love. The Bears and the Lions the Bears are 3-0. The Lions are 2-1. The Lions I got to see firsthand last week. I left the show last week, drove, took the left, went towards the stadium, parked literally in a great space in a purple lot, walked inside, traded two good, you know, lower level 10-yard line seats for a single in the club, walked into the club, got a little something to eat, sat down, watched the ball game. The Redskins literally didn't suck nearly as bad as they had the first two games. The Lions, you know...
It's hard to suck as bad, but yeah, they still suck.
But, yeah, but Matthew Stafford was struggling a little bit when I was there, too. It turns out, halftime score 17-14, Detroit. Washington, you know, for the most part, I mean, they went down the field. It looked like they had just scored the tying touchdown. And this is the epitome of no class and having a horrible, just a horrible thing to do. The guy that trapped the ball in the end zone, the wide receiver, number 11, that trapped the ball for the Redskins, got up and started doing a dance. They were going to, you know, they challenged it, and it wasn't any good.
Well,
but it was a great dance.
You have to sell the score. You have to sell that score. It was did I? Because I don't know.
You can't sell anything because they always look at it. And the referees look play, and they had to.
Know.
But he had to know that he had to feel
but
that
if it's
thing.
Borderline.
It wasn't borderline. It was really easy to call. But anyway,
sell
the Bears play the Lions. The Lions aren't that good. I'm not – Ndamukong Suh, I hope they find him $2 million by the end of the season.
He's going to be the first player to play,
you know,
and have to pay to play.
Listen, the Bears are having fun. They got a brand-new coach. He's doing a phenomenal job. He's the first coach that I can remember, except maybe a little bit of Mike Shanahan when Jay Cutler was in Denver, that Cutler gets along with. And you know what? They're not sacking Cutler. They've got Howie Long's son playing left guard and acting like he's a Pro Bowler in his rookie year. You know, I'm not taking the Bears in this game because it's indoors at Ford Field in Detroit, but I am taking the over. I love the over. The over is 48.5 points. It was 47.5 when these guys printed their paper. It doesn't matter. It's going to be – I think Chicago is going to win like a 34-31 game.
So you think Detroit can score on
Chicago? Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt, they can score because they can't – first of all, Chicago's got a couple – people hurt on defense. They're going to move some guys around, but they're going to have to play. They're going to have to play a nickel almost the whole game. And guess who's back? Reggie Bush is back this week. So they're, you know, so they have an opportunity to score some more points. I'm not taking the Bears though. I'm taking the over in this game. Let's go to the next game. Now, you know what? That's the Ravens and the Bills. I'm going to go over this only because we may have somebody call in from the fan in Baltimore before the show's over. But the Ravens are 2-1. The Bills are 1-2. The Bills are not the Ravens. Now, last week, Sean Salisbury came on this show and said, Bruce, you know, this game worries me. Yeah, Houston should win this game. Yeah, I think right now Houston's a better team. But this is Baltimore. They're returning Super Bowl champs. They're at home, and Ray Lewis is going to be there. I see them winning. He couldn't have been more right. I sent him a tweet at Sean Unfiltered. That's Sean Salisbury's Twitter handle, at Sean, S-E-A-N, Unfiltered, like a Camel cigarette. Did you like that, Matt? Anyway, this guy's got the Ravens winning 24-17. You know, the Ravens can play some defense. And the one thing I like about what the Ravens do as a coaching staff is they don't let too much out of the bag. They never have when John Harbaugh is just the opposite of his brother. He's not a loudmouth. He's not a pain in the butt. He doesn't look like he needs a lot of medication. John Harbaugh looks like he's the therapist in the family because I think the old man's kind of crazy too. I'm going to take, in this game, I'm taking the Ravens. They are a 3-point favorite. Even though they're in Buffalo, they're just too much better of a team than Buffalo. I do see some points being scored, and you know what the total is? 43. I'm taking the over, too. I'm taking the over for 4 stars. Let's go to the next one. This is a good game. Bengals and the Browns. The Bengals.
Good is relative, though.
Yeah, but no. Relative. Well, yeah, but let me tell you.
Evenly matched.
When these two teams play, though, you know, anything can happen for the most part. Now the Browns have a good defense. There's no doubt in that. And then last week, they started to look like their offense started clicking because they threw Hoyer in there, and he's like night and day better than – in 1 week, Brandon Whedon went from their starting quarterback to a guy that's going to be out of work next year. He might be a number two or a number three somewhere next year, but he's not going to be the Cleveland – Brown starting quarterback, and he's done. The Bengals, however, though, this kid Hoyer, and we call him Steny Hoyer because that's some lousy politician from Maryland. That's some liberal punk that I don't like much. He, but by the way, that got picked up in Cleveland, Steny, because Mazur sent it out, and then everybody was calling him Steny Hoyer. So Steny Hoyer is probably happy that somebody's actually mentioning his name again. But the Browns and the Bengals, it's going to be a close game. I'm passing on it. Go to the next game.
Actually, you have to say, the Browns, last week, they looked like a team that had some articles pinned up in their locker room of everybody saying that they've given up on the season. And
that trade of Trent Richardson did – Trent Richardson, first time he touched the ball in Indianapolis, and we're going to talk about Indianapolis in a minute, because they destroyed what a lot of people thought was the best team in the NFL last week. Let's go to the next game. We'll talk about it right now. The Colts are at the Jaguars. This is like the varsity. Well, it's a varsity against the JV, but the Colts have had a run of injuries in the last week to 2 weeks, and they're coming off of a really high-flying feel-good big win against San Francisco in Candlestick Park. In Candlestick Park. They go out there, and Andrew Luck looks like the guy. He does. You know, he throws. He makes good decisions. He even ran one in. They're playing the Jaguars. They get back their starting quarterback who cut his hand really bad during a game. And the best thing that had happened to him all season was not playing on this team, because they are not going to score a lot of points against the Colts. And basically the Colts offense is up to a guy named Andrew Luck. You know, I got to take the Colts minus. Do you know what the line is on this? 9.5 right now. I got to take a minus 9.5 because I don't see the Jaguars scoring 10 points, and I don't see the Jag defense keeping the Colts off the field and Andrew Luck not being able to score 21 to 24 points. Yeah. Either play them for 3 stars, which is a minimal play for me, or pass on the game.
And you have to imagine that some of the Jaguars players are going to be drinking some of that free beer at the stadium this week, because they know they have no
Is chance. There free beer?
Yes, they have to give away free beer.
I didn't think you were even allowed to do free beer.
Well, they figured it out.
That's great.
That's been the story all over the
place. Let's go to the next one, and then we're probably going to have to skip for a break. Go ahead, Matt. I love that sound. That is football. Oh, this is the London Bowl. The Steelers, this won't take long,
Soggy
people.
Grass.
Hey, this is one of the few things I read about this over there was that nobody knew. Adrian Peterson, who may be the greatest running back in the NFL for the last 5 to 10 years, no one knew who he was. He was just some dude walking around, and nobody recognized, nobody hit him up for autographs, nobody did this. We're going to be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You're listening to AM 1230, News Talk 1230, WFAS.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So we're talking about the London-Pittsburgh game, and we've finally gotten into my expertise, which is soccer fields.
It is going to be a mess, especially if they haven't had a tarp on it.
And it made me realize this just talking that I probably have to sit my Le'Veon Bell, who's just coming back for the first time for Pittsburgh, because when you initially put your plant foot down in this grass,
yeah,
in the soccer field,
it's gone.
It sinks. So this benefits the linebackers.
Is it like Candlestick? Is it next to some water? It must be, because when the tides come in.
No, it's just very well aerated, very soft.
So who are you going to take?
Who's the better quarterback then? You'd have to go with Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah, you got to. And you know what? You got to go with Pittsburgh anyway, because you can't see the Pittsburgh. You know, you can't see the Steelers 0-4. I just can't see it. And I can't see... you know what? Can you do me a favor?
Did you watch that last week's game? Because you can kind of see them 0-4.
I'm passing on the game.
Okay.
Let's go to the next game. Hey, you know what? This is two teams. This could be your pre-Super Bowl game, except for the team that showed up in Baltimore last week and played the Ravens. Now, you got to understand one thing. That score, which was 30-9, was lopsided because of special teams and a turnover and a touchdown. It was a lot closer game than that. You know, I just don't think that the Texans are going to make it to the AFC Championship game this year, but everybody thinks the Seahawks are. And it's early, but the Seahawks, you know what they're favored by in this game, Matt? 2 points. I had to take them. This is a team that has averaged winning by 20 points. I'm taking them in Texas. I'm not touching the over-under with anybody else's.
And Texas has been called the Super Bowl team every year for the past 3 years.
Well, you know,
they've never
delivered. Yeah, and you know what? Roy picked them. All right.
And he's picked them the past 3 years.
No, he picked the Ravens last year. He actually won. Remember, he hadn't let us forget that like every
Texas,
time we've seen.
Then Texas was a close second in his book.
Well, you know what? I like Texas last year, too. You know what? I'm going to take the Seahawks minus the two. I think Russell Wilson playing. You know, Russell Wilson is such a great quarterback. And you know what? And Marshawn Lynch is a great running back. Now, here's the problem.
Where is it?
Two rookies are starting on the offensive line for Seattle. It's in Houston. And Houston does have J.J. Watt. And they do have Brian Cushing. And they do have Ed Reed. I mean, I could see it going either way. You know what I've just done? You know what I've done, don't you? I've just talked myself into not taking the game, and I'm going to pass.
But you had the look at Seattle as the team that feels like they are the Super Bowl team.
Well, you know what? If you saw what they did to San Francisco, oh, they are. Next game, man. We talked about this game already. All right, Eli Manning. great receiving core.
Sorry, New York.
Who's going to run the football? You know, the offensive line is a mess. Was it Carl Banks last week that basically came out and said how they just looked scared, they were uninspired, they didn't hit? And I got upset with New York, and I did say so in a couple of blogs and in on my Facebook page and on my website. I said, you know, if I lost my brother on a Monday night, and my team that knew, you know, how much a game means to me and this, that, and the other, they didn't show up. They lost 38-0 last week. So here's what I have to say right now about the Giants. Nothing. Because my mother told me a long time ago, if you got nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. I'm definitely going to take the Chiefs here. I think this is I think the game's going to be like a 20-10 game. I think, you know, or maybe even a 30-20 game, but it's not going to be a 3-point game. I think the Chiefs handle them. They're going to handle them. Let's go to the next one. Oh, this is my upset pick of the week. Oh. And I'm going to tell you, it's not an upset. But it's an upset when you look at Schiano, Greg Schiano, who a lot of people think, you know, is hunting for a realtor right now to help him sell his house in Tampa. There's already word out in Tampa this morning that you know, he's gotten that, you know, owner, you know, vote of confidence, which is like
which means exactly
translated
the opposite.
Go find a realtor. The over-under in the game is 40.5. The Bucs are favored by one, as many as two, depending on where you are. Guess what? The Cardinals had the week from hell injury-wise last week. Mm-hmm. They've got their best defensive players are down. They've got guys hurt. Even Larry Fitzgerald is like limited practice all week because of a hamstring. I'm taking the Buccaneers behind Mike Glennon. Now, Mike Glennon is from Westfield High School in Centerville, Virginia, and two very good friends of mine, Gary McInturf and his wife Tracy, are with the Glennons, I'm pretty sure, in Tampa, or they're up here somewhere, but they're celebrating. They're going to watch the game and then hopefully bring them some luck. Mike Glennon went to NC State. He's 6'7", about 235, 40 pounds, and the kid is a baller. He can play. I'm taking the Bucs to win their first game and save Schiano for at least a month. Let's go to the next one. Oh, the Jets. You know what? Rex, I'm liking you more each week because what you're doing is you're balling. You're balling. Your guys are balling. You're balling. Everybody's balling. You got the Titans, though. They're good, and you know they're good. The Titans are running the ball more than they're passing. They're one of the few teams in the NFL that is doing that. They're controlling the time of possession. They are not turning the ball over. They have a very average quarterback in Jake Locker. But they're playing the Jets, who have a rookie quarterback in Geno Smith. This, you know what? This game's going to be 13-10. I'm taking the Titans. They're actually favored by 5. I'm passing on the game.
Yeah, this is two inconsistent teams. They're
not even inconsistent right now. They're just very close to the vest. They're not letting that game get away from them. Now, Kenny Britt needs to break out. The Titans need to do a little more than just run the football, because what Rex will do is put 7 or 8 in the box and stop them. I think that this game goes under 40 points. It's 40.5. Take the under in this game. Next. Oh, the Eagles and the Broncos. Now, I'm going to tell you, this should be a night game, but it's a 425 game.
This should be like a 9 a.m. game, because nobody wants to see this massacre.
Well, can I tell you what's going to happen? They're going to score a lot of points in this game. The Eagles, you know, like them or don't like them, and I'm gonna choose not to like them because I don't like the coach. I really don't. I think he's a little cocky for me. I knew Andy Reid was going to punish him last week. Just looking at the two of them on the sidelines, I'm going to take the Broncos here minus 11 points for a big play. I'm saying 5 stars, and I'm going to tell you why. The Eagles, Mike Vick, is going to get hurt in this game. Mike Vick is going to turn the ball over in this game more than once, probably 2 or 3 times. And I think Shady McCoy is probably not going to be nearly as big of a factor as everybody thinks. But I am also hedging. Matt, you know me, I'm a hedger. I'm hedging with the over. You know what the over is? It's up to 60 points. I'm taking the over for 3 stars.
So you think that are you taking the over based on Denver?
Denver.
Or you don't think that
you want to know what the
final's
going to
score?
No. Final's going to be 44-28. Add that up. That's what's going to be scored. Next game. Let's go. Hey, and by the way, in that Eagles game, you know, the Eagles, if you're...
You've already moved on.
Yeah, well, okay. The Redskins and the Raiders. Oh, my God.
This should be like a 7-8.
Well, here's the thing. We were told that Terrell Pryor all morning, from the time I got up at 6 till I got over here, Terrell Pryor starting. I was all set to take the 4 points in the Oakland Raiders. But guess what? Flynn starting. And we've heard that from guys that are owed by the league, if you know what I'm talking about. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So we're talking the retard bowl.
Easy.
Not able bowl. Washington and Oakland.
It's going to be a mess.
Everybody's talking about RG3. Not enough people are talking about the Redskins defense, in my opinion. And you have been talking about RG3 for the past couple weeks.
Yeah, but what I was saying about RG3 was I'm tired of everybody talking about RG3. I'm just tired of hearing his name. I was tired of the offseason. When he got hurt in the playoffs last year and before the playoffs last year, when the season ended abruptly with the loss in Seattle.
Abruptly.
Well, you know what I'm saying. All of a sudden, he started calling the shots in the Redskin organization. And I'm going to tell you why. Because he's really good friends with a guy named Daniel Snyder. And listen, there was another guy like that. His name was Clinton Portis. And Clinton Portis wasn't really, until Mike Shanahan got here and was promised by Snyder he could do what he wanted with Portis because he had him to begin with.
He drafted him.
Yeah, exactly, but he also got rid of him too. Yeah. My point is this. You know, you could tell by the flavor and just the way that the organization and the media was handling all of the RG3 stuff that RG3 was handling. We got a phone call. Hopefully this is Tony Mazur from WKRK. Tony? Hey, Tony, are you there? Hello, Tony. Tony, you there, buddy?
Maybe not.
Well, we must have lost him. Anyway, he'll call back. But my point is that you saw him at the Kentucky Derby. You saw him here. You saw him there. You say, you know what? I got tired of seeing him. I mean, you know, you don't even see Miley Cyrus that much. Oh, by the way, that's really sad about what they think Miley Cyrus was doing whatever Molly that night that she did the what do you call that? What she was doing? We got it. Tony, you on the line, buddy?
Is he there?
Hey, come on, man. Tony, you there? Is it me?
All right, or is it you?
Yeah, we're going to keep moving on. He'll keep trying. But anyway, we're going to have Sean Salisbury on for you NFL people at 11:30. We're expecting Tony Major to call here any minute. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Cleveland Indians and the Cleveland Browns and, you know, and what good has happened with them. Let's go to the next game while we're at it. All right.
What is the next
game, Bruce? Well, we were talking about the Redskins Raiders. Listen, if Terrell Pryor isn't starting, I'm not taking the Raiders. And I'm not taking the Redskins because they're the worst defense in the league. Next game. That was easy. You can't go with that. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I am taking the over in that game. The over in that game is not a big one. The over in that game is 43 points. I'm taking the over because the Redskins defense alone, even against, well, look, you got to understand one thing. Last time Matt Flynn started a game, he set the Packer record on the last game of the season when it didn't mean anything, but he threw for 450 yards. Aaron Rodgers just tied that record this year. Let's go to the next game.
How many times are we going to have to press that?
You're learning. Cowboys at the Chargers. Let me tell you, the Dallas Cowboys are going to win the NFC East. That's a given. The question is going to be, do they win 8 games, 9 games, or 7 games to win the East? I don't think the Redskins are going to win 7, 8, or 9 games. I don't think the Eagles are going to win 7, 8, or 9 games. And I'm sure you're doing this.
No.
I think the Cowboys are going to win it. I think Tony Romo finally is relaxed and he's working. By the way, if you listen to our show enough, Tony Romo has the third best stats in the history of the NFL in regards to some things that are going on. I think that what's going to happen in this game is the Chargers are going to get beat, but it's going to be a close game. I'm taking the over. We do have a call now. Tony?
Hello, this is Hayes.
Hey, Tony, how you doing, buddy? Well, you were having a little hard time with the connection. I'm sorry about that. Let's talk real quick about the Cleveland Indians, okay? The Cleveland Indians have...
All right.
Now, they're one game ahead right now for the wild card spot, right?
Yes.
Are they going to... Now, they've got Ubaldo throwing today, correct?
Yes, they do.
They're going to win today, Tony, aren't they?
They should. Ubaldo has been phenomenal. I don't know how.
Yeah, you know what? They just won't give up. Have the crowds been there, or has the crowd been? I mean, it's been good. I saw Giambi hit the bomb the other night. That was pretty exciting.
You know, it's interesting because the crowds haven't been good and. All season. So it's not even just because the Browns were playing. The crowd's just, it's not a baseball town. Everyone talks about, well, the 90s and Kenny Lofton and Albert Bell.
Hargrove.
It's an anomaly. Because I just saw Mike Hargrove the other day, and it was an anomaly because you didn't have the Browns at that time. It was a perfect storm for the Indians. And ever since 2007, when all three teams actually did something, nobody... And this is serious. Nobody in this town has made a playoff appearance since LeBron was here.
So
not one team.
Tony, does saying that the Cleveland Indians will win this go against the entire city's theory that God hates Cleveland? Is that why you're hesitant in saying that they will win tonight?
Yes. I mean, the guy, it's setting up for a grandiose failure, isn't that right?
Yeah, it could be. Now, listen, let me just say this. If they win tonight, do they just have a one-game playoff, or are they going to be, you know, I'm a baseball guy, and I can't even tell you what's going on in the American League because the Rangers are still in it, right?
Yes.
Now, are they one game behind them?
Yeah, I guess what'll happen, there are many scenarios, but the only way for them to be a three-way tie is if the Indians win and the Rangers and the Rays all lose, and then there's going to be like a play, there's a playing or a tiebreaker tomorrow, and then another one the Wednesday is supposed to be the actual wild card game, and then whoever wins on Wednesday plays in the division series. So. That's all contingent on if the Minnesota Twins don't play like a bunch of dogs, and same with the Angels, which they've been dreadful too. But they have Jason Vargas on the mound. But you have your studs out there. Matt Moore's pitching for Tampa. You have like I said, Ubaldo, who's been one of the best pitchers in the American League in the second half.
Right.
And then Texas has Yu Darvish today. So everyone's bringing out their big guns.
So two out of three is going to determine one game. Well, now let me just say this, because this is how I think it's going to happen. You tell me if I'm correct. If the Cleveland Indians lose and the other two teams win, there's three teams in a playoff, correct?
Yeah, there's and one of them, I think it's like the Indians and... The Indians and Tampa, it's really confusing, but they would play tomorrow to see who plays in that one-game wild card.
Okay.
And that's going to be on Wednesday, because Tuesday's the NL wild card. Pittsburgh, finally, PNC Park, my favorite park in baseball, hosting a playoff game. It's about time.
Yeah, but now they've guaranteed themselves. Are they guaranteed a wild card, or is Pittsburgh guaranteed winning the division?
No, the Cardinals won.
Oh, that's right. The Cards are like three games out in front or four. I should know. I've been playing them for 2 weeks. You know. Here's the thing about the Cardinals. You know, they're still built a lot like, in my opinion, a men's softball team, but. But, I mean, they just remind me of one. But you know who's hot as a firecracker right now is Matt Holliday. And, I mean, he picked a hell of a time to get hot, because last year this time he wasn't that hot. The MVP trophy real quick, then I'm going to take you to the Browns. Matt, we got plenty of time in this segment, right? Hey, you know what? The MVP trophy, this kid, the second baseman for the Cardinals, as much as I'd love to see Kutch get it, Kutch has got guys on his own team that have better numbers than he does. I'd see this second baseman for St. Louis getting it. Don't you? He's got 125 runs scored. He's driven in a lot of runs. He's got, what, 52 doubles or 55 doubles? He's hit more doubles than anybody.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, hitting a double is like scoring a run. That's why he's scored 125 runs. I like that kid. Do you agree with
Matt
me?
Matt Carpenter is good. I feel it's going to be McCutcheon, only because originally it was going to be Yadier Molina. But
he sat out, a month and a half?
Exactly, and that's because NHL's continued winning, so therefore you go, guy's a good player, but is he most valuable to his team? And I feel that if Andrew McCutcheon went on the DL for me, Pittsburgh's done. And I feel a lot of voters would feel that way as well, that the guy is just, I mean, he doesn't have the flashiest stats, very gaudy stats. Like, he's getting maybe 316 right now, is about 20-something home runs and 80, maybe close to 90 RBI.
Yeah, he's got a good OBP, too. I mean, he's not Joey Votto with the OBP, but Joey Votto... his numbers got hurt a little bit this year because of the injury. He started a little slower with his power, but his OBP is like 440. But you know, they just stopped hitting the ball all of a sudden. Hey, real quick, let's talk Cleveland Browns. You and I both, we didn't make fun of them, but we were a little critical last week. And then they come back and they have a game like they did last week. What is the feeling in Cleveland right now about this team? And do they have a good shot at beating a really good Bengal team today?
They do have a shot, actually, because the Bengal secondary is in shambles. I guess Leon Hall and Pac-Man Jones won't be playing. And so, therefore, with Brian Hoyer last week, which, you know, I don't think he's going to have as good a game as he did last week, because they have game film on him. And personally, I think Minnesota
I've always said Minnesota is kind of like the Detroit Lions of the 90s, where you have the greatest running back on turf at that time, and you have a dog of a quarterback, just like Scott Mitchell, Rodney Peete.
Look who's starting today for him. The guy in Kansas City that cheated in New England that couldn't, you know, Matt Castle. So, I mean, that's not going to help them, you know?
No.
I don't think so. You know what I like about Hoyer? I like, if you watch NFL Network, Sterling Sharp's pretty good on playbook. He loves where he put the ball last week. If you looked at all of his passes, they were all thrown away from the defender, and they were all beautiful passes. Now, you got to remember who they played, but, you know, this team, you know, the Bengals are tough. I don't see this. I don't see a lot of runs. I don't see a lot of points being scored in this game.
I don't see it either, but I will say the points that are going to be scored, especially by the Browns, if they score any, are going to be on through passing. Because last week, I think it was Josh Aubrey had the most yards in the game as a running back. He had 34 and all came on one carry. Brian Hoyer threw the ball 54 times. That can't happen. I don't know what Norv Turner is doing. Maybe you guys know because you guys are more familiar with Norv. It almost seems like the game's passing him by because that's just, it was pass. I don't think I think there might have been one or two handoffs or something in the second half.
You got to understand where Norv comes from. Unfortunately for Norv, he developed the way he calls plays now from his 7 years of like, struggling with the Washington Redskins. He you know, anybody could have coached that team in Dallas. They had 8 all pros out of 11 players on the offense. Troy Aikman didn't need Norv Turner to call plays for him. He could have called him in the dirt like Sonny Jurgensen. It didn't matter. But when he got to Washington, what he found out was in Washington, because of their background with Sonny Jurgensen, you know, back in the day, he was always their baby. Norv found out that the fans, even if you lost, love to throw the football. And that's what he does now. And I got to tell you, you really can't run the ball that well in Cleveland, but you got to try to establish the run somehow, at least with sprint draws or a little quick pitch or, you know, something like that. I don't see this kid Hoyer doing anything well except throwing the football. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like I said, he threw 54 times last week. It can't happen. I know it's a passing league, and I know the quarterback, there's such an emphasis on him, but you can't throw that many passes. And you look throughout the league, and you look at some of the other great quarterbacks, and they're throwing, like Peyton Manning or whatever. He's handing off. He has Molly Ball. It's not like the Browns have weapons. We need to switch it up a little bit. It was so predictable.
Right.
And the fact that the Vikings, I'm surprised, they just bit every time.
Hey, Tony, we got to run, but tell everybody how they get a hold of you on Twitter.
Find me at Tony Mazur, TonyMazur, good Polish name.
Hey, listen, man, I love following you. I love talking to you. And next week, let's get you on again because I got a sneaky feeling that we're going to be talking about the Cleveland Browns and hopefully the Cleveland Indians next week.
Hey,
Tony, have a great day. And I know you're going to church. Be a good boy.
Take care, guys.
See you later, buddy. Tony Mazur, WKRK in Cleveland. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
All right, so we're talking football, NFL. Now we're talking about NFL or Cowboys, Chargers.
Yeah, you know, the San Diego Chargers have a new coach.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, everybody in San Diego is saying
Mike. Yeah, Mike McCoy. You know, he was a defensive coordinator in one of the defensive guys in Denver. Good coach. Everybody likes him. Philip Rivers loves him, evidently. But anything after North Turner has got to be an. You know, you were asking me, what does North Turner do during a game? He stammers a lot. What? Have you ever heard a press conference of his? I shouldn't make fun of him because he's probably a former stutterer that worked through it, you know, in school and stuff. But it's hard to be a head coach and have to go to the media on a regular basis. He used to burn all three of his timeouts in every first half when he was in Washington. You know why he did that? Because he was calling in a change of play and he couldn't get it in time. And you could just see quarterbacks were throwing their hands up in the air going, what? What are you trying to say? Speak to me.
There were a lot of times where they said the radio was out, but no, he's just pointing and saying, what?
Oh, yeah. He's like, what did you just say?
Would that be Gus Frerotte?
But anyway, listen,
it's hard to say
Frerotte. The Cowboys are 2-1. I just said that they're going to win the NFC East. No, they are. Trust me.
Yeah,
that's going to happen.
That's not a big accomplishment.
That's not
though.
Saying much this year. It's saying quite a bit. Last year, it was saying a little bit. But the Chargers are 1-2. They're in the West. They're probably not going anywhere this year. Philip Rivers has a couple of targets. They can run the ball a little bit, but. The problem with them is their defense is horrible. Now, the over-under in this game is 45 to 46, depending on where you're getting it. I'm taking the over for five stars. I'm taking the over for five stars, and I need you. Oh, and by the way, if you want to see how Bruce Hall and several of the top handicappers in the country are doing, go to National Handicappers Bowl website. That's NHBowl.com. NHBowl.com. Go there and you can find out anything you want to know. You can find out last week's results, last year's results, this week's results, who we like, who we don't like. I mean, it's all up there too. The standings will be up usually Tuesday morning because there's a Monday night game. We do have a phone call. Sean, is that you?
Sure is,
Bruce. Hey, good morning, Sean. How are you doing? I was already on Twitter the last 5 or 10 minutes, and you're all over that. Hey, tell me real quick, because I know unless you're just worn out doing it, one thing we're going to do for sure, Sean, in these last two segments is I'm going to get your top picks. I'm going to go over and tell you who I like. We're going to do what we did last week. And I got to tell you, between you and I, we do all right because you helped me out a little bit. That Baltimore save was unbelievable. Last year, week.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. It set up well for.
Oh, it was.
The Texans and the pride factor of the rest of it. So it's always fun. I'm not as good at you at picking games.
Oh, come on! Hey, you know what? If you got a coin in your hand, some years you're as good as I am. Listen, let me ask you this about. You want to ask him a question, Matt?
No, I was going to say, Sean, I am so sorry for last week because Bruce almost beat me up after the show.
Oh, because I forgot.
We didn't get to talk about your clothing line.
Yeah, let's talk about your clothing line right now, Sean. Tell us all about.
Oh, no problem.
Bruce gets very violent.
I just stuck out my shirt, some of them, to start wearing a couple days ago. You guys are going to love it at all different sizes, and hats and hoodies will be coming too. The t-shirts, the introduction of those t-shirts should be done. The website should be ready by, I hope, the middle of next week, and they could start ordering on everydamndown.com or everydamndown.com.
Everydamndown. Look at you. You're cleaning your act up. Yep.
Well, it's just that, yeah, exactly. It is the logo. If people have gone on Twitter, I have a picture of it on Twitter. It's awesome. And, it's one of those, we need something like a Just Do It logo. We haven't had one. And with the way the logo is described and stuff, I always believe you live life. In my mission statement on the website, you live life every damn day hard. You got to get through tough times.
Oh yeah!
And with football and clothing lines and how people love sayings on it, it's very clean and crisp logo. And it's every damn down, man. You got to play. You got to play. You got to play all four downs, all four quarters, all 60 minutes. That's the way you got to do it in life. And so it's a perfect football saying because I've said it forever. And now I put it on a shirt, and so it's out there, and they're fun, and we're going to get colors. We'll have colors of colleges and NFL teams, the team colors with my logo on it, without their logo, the NFL logo, but with mine, so you'll know. And I just think it makes up for some great stuff. And then October is going to be dedicated to donating money to breast cancer awareness. So we have female line as well, so they like the, you know, the shirts that hug tighter, and it'll say we attack cancer every damn down in pink, and we'll give a lot of the proceeds away to breast cancer and breast cancer awareness. And so we're trying to do something on our, we figured it was time to kick off our line, and doing it in October when the NFL wears pink and do all that, it was good. And then it'll be around hopefully for a long time, and on t-shirts and some of my fun things on the back with the Every Damn Down logo on the front. So, and at some point we may get the Every Darn Down logo where it's for kids and toddlers and stuff.
Little League, yeah.
I'm excited about it. I've been thinking
every
about it
doggone down, put a dog on
there. There you go.
Hey, Sean, where are you from?
He's love it.
Southern Cowboy.
Southern Cal, because, yeah. Man, when he has that perfect, you know, announcer voice, yeah, except for when he says that logo.
Yeah,
it sounds like a Texas accent coming out every damn day.
You know, I've spent the last 8 years in Texas, so
that's
I've always talked
is.
A little lazy with my voice, but maybe that's a little twang there. But it is, I mean, when I'm coaching people and when you're playing, man, you got to play every damn down. So that's, I think it flies, and it's just, I could see it on an Adidas or not here. Under Armour shirt, a commercial every damn day. You know, got to play them, man. So
right. Hey, we're broadcasting
the logo, and
we're broadcasting from just south of Baltimore. So
the people in Baltimore talk a lot different than the people in Northern Virginia. But I got to tell
you,
Sean,
the logo.
Can
the logo
you do an every MFing
well does anywhere else?
Hey, are you in Austin? Is that where you are?
Right now, no, I'm a Dallas guy.
Oh, that's right. You're in Dallas.
I've been in Houston the last couple of weeks. So.
Well, listen, let's talk football. And listen, you know, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about something that you probably had a lot to think about in the last several hours. Lane Kiffin, he's gone.
Yeah. It had to happen.
Yeah, share how that happened, because only you would know how that happened, being a Southern Cal guy to begin with. And we'll finish up with that, and then we'll do our NFL picks the last segment. But you know, you had to see it coming. Now, I know they were on probation. I don't know that a lot of that was Kiffin's doing, right?
No, it happened. Well, he was on staff, but he wasn't the head coach.
Right. Bruce,
the whole – with this whole – it's been a very, should I say, intense or uncomfortable situation at SC with him as a head coach for a while. And now they've had some good, they've played some good football under him. He's a bright young X's and O's guy.
Right.
I've known Lane Kiffin when his dad, Monty, who's obviously the famous defensive coordinator, was a coach of ours with the linebackers in Minnesota when I played the Vikings. I used to go with him to watch Lane play high school football. So I've known Lane since he was a kid. And I like him. Lane's very confident guy, borders on arrogance. And I'm not I don't sit the fence, and I like him. There's a lot of things I disagree about him. And, you know, he had three of the most historic jobs on the planet by the time he was 33 years old, 32. He had the Raiders, the Tennessee Volunteers, and USC before he hit his 33rd birthday.
Right.
So those are monster jobs. So you're talking about, and when I say he had those three jobs, I'm talking about those. It doesn't get any better than that by the time you're 35 to have three prestigious jobs like that. But he's had trouble in all of them. And there's a sense of, and I've always believed when I watch him, there's a sense of Lane has this chip that he has to force people that he's not Monty's, the reason Monty's his dad is not the reason he's a good coach. And there's this chip on his shoulder that has this, I got to force that I'm that vocal leader in front of everybody,
right.
And powerful leader. Leaders don't force it. Leaders, it comes natural. I've always felt.
You're quiet.
Whenever I saw him I've always felt when I saw him in a position of as a head coach or leadership at any of the three, that he was, that being a leader was not natural, that he had to prove to people that he was a strong force leader and everything. When he was an assistant, he on the sidelines was Sarkisian and stuff. He's a perfect wide receiver coach.
Right.
It'll call some plays. That to me, that fits him. I just think that he was premature to be a head coach at those. Not that he's not smart. People that think he's got Lane Kiffin that knows X's and O's. But
that
the head coaching position isn't a position about X's and O's.
No.
To hire assistants to be X's and O's guy, you're a CEO. You better.
It's a big picture.
Yeah,
it's a big picture job.
Here's what I've always believed as a head coach. And if I'm ever a head coach, it's two things. You number one, you better take ordinary and make it extraordinary. And you don't manage people. I always hate when I hear business people or football or broadcast, and oh, he's a great, he manages people well. No. And micromanagers, in my opinion, rarely succeed for a long period of time.
Right.
They do it for a short period of time, and then people are tired of their act, and they run them out, and I think that's what happens with him.
No,
for
I
me,
hear
you. You manage things. paperwork, little right. details. You manage those things, and then you lead people. And leaders of people are great head coaches and great CEOs and great motivational
right.
people. You don't have to be the little deep. That's why you hire your wide receiver coach to coach, and you oversee what he's doing. And you are a leader of people and a manager of things.
Yeah, you let them do the work. Let them do the work.
Yeah, you have to. If you're going to hire them, then you better let them do the work. So it had to happen because I think the leadership was awry and then went haywire. If you want to sit down and talk chalkboard, talk with Blaine Kiffin, he can talk exit.
There you go. Hey, we'll be. You're going
to. When your leader's forced, you can't. You cannot. You can't be a head coach at that kind of level and sustain it for a long period of time. Pat Hayden made the right move. As I hate to see anybody get fired.
Right.
Blaine Kiffin will coach somewhere else again, whether it's assistant. But right now, I believe the head coaching position at USC at that point was too big for him.
Well, I agree. Listen, you hold on, Sean. We'll be back in a minute, okay? We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS with Sean Salisbury.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm on the phone with Sean Salisbury, my favorite football guy in the world, at Sean Unfiltered. Correct, Sean? S-E-A-N, Unfiltered?
Yep, on Twitter, yeah.
Hey, let me tell you, if you have a Twitter account and you don't follow Sean Salisbury and you like football or any sport for that matter, because, Sean, you're like me, you don't care. Even if it's a little bit political, if we see something we don't like, we throw it out there just for the hell of it, don't we?
No problem with me at all. Everybody's got one. I'm not worried about the reaction anyway. So
no, okay. You know what? You can only control yourself. And I've said this a long time. You know, it doesn't really matter what other people think about you as long as you're okay with yourself.
That's exactly right, and I am.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm okay with you, so I know you're okay because
okay.
let me tell you something, brother. We're a lot more alike than you think. Hey, we're going to go over some picks here. This is the NFL. This is the end of the show. This is probably when the majority of people in New York and Westchester County get on my show anyway. I already took the over in the Bears-Lions game. You like that pick?
Yeah, tell me what the over is.
It's 47.5, 48. I think the Lions scored that many.
Yeah, this is a 30s game.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, just for fun, I don't know what, I haven't looked at the spread. I rely on you at this time when we're picking these
sure.
games. But I do mine on Saturday and then come, you know, love listening to you talk about it on Sunday. I think not only is it the over, but I'm going to tell you what, don't be surprised if the Lions pull that game out and win today.
They get Reggie Bush back.
Yep, do not be shocked. They could spray the ball all over the field, and I'm just waiting for one Chicago Bears, you know, for them to, you know, to have one of those games and see how Cutler handles major adversity. But, you know, Chicago can score, but I don't see them 4-0. I'm taking Lions in that football game, too. Well, I'll take the over as well.
Well, you know what? They always play better in Ford Field anyway. I saw one during the World Series last year. They came back and won right at the end of the game, and I'll tell you what. You know, there may be an economic problem in Detroit. There's not an economic problem inside that stadium on Sundays. That's the truth.
Fans. They love their football team and a quarterback who can throw it.
Hey, I'm going to give you the opportunity to go on the opposite side of where you went last week. The Ravens and the Bills. I like the Ravens because they're only 2 to 3 point favorites, depending on where you get it. I kind of like the over in this game because the Bills' defense really isn't, you know, doing much right now. I'm either going to pass on the game or take the Ravens. You like this game at all?
Yeah, you know what? I think the Ravens, a little bit of momentum. I think their offense, they'll push it around a little bit. And remember, a young quarterback in Buffalo and the Ravens, even though they're not the same defense, they're still the Ravens. They're still that reputation, the Baltimore Ravens, and they can get after it. I think this game's far more than a field goal. I think the Ravens win by at least a touchdown. I like the Ravens in this game. It's one I would touch.
No, I hear you. Now, last week we had a rookie quarterback, not really a rookie, but he's a first-time starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. This kid, I call him Steny Hoyer. His name's Brian Hoyer. The kid evidently throws a really pretty pass, but the Bengals are a very solid physical football team. The Browns are getting 4 points. Do you like them getting 4 points at home?
Well, they can have it. Cincinnati wins that game.
Yeah, I believe it.
than Cincinnati. Cincinnati is better than that. This is, I think, the division winner in that division. I think the Bengals, they haven't still played their best football yet. And while Brian is a nice kick in the rear end for Cleveland, and you know, people liked him when he was a backup in New England, and he's got some game and did a great job confidence-wise for himself of doing what he did last week to get a big win notch and come from behind and make a great throw at the end of the game. But that was Minnesota. This is Cincinnati. I like Cincinnati far better, and I like Cincinnati in this football game. I think it's just another step towards the Bengals winning the division.
I think you're right. I like them, too. I'm going to pass on the game because the number keeps going up. But listen, here's a game. The Seahawks and the Texans, a lot of people pick the Texans to win the AFC this year. The Seahawks right now are the pick to win it all. Let me ask you this. They go into Baltimore last week, and it was a couple of big plays that made that game look like it wasn't close. It was a lot closer than 30-9. But do you think the Texans can come back on the tail of that butt-whipping they got in Baltimore last week?
They sure better, because here in Houston, when I'm down the street, a couple miles away from Alliance Stadium, I'm going to tell you something. They're getting abused in this town. Schaub is taking more abuse than you can imagine. I don't know what the spread of the game is.
Two.
What is it?
Seahawks are two-point favorites. Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I have this feeling. I almost have the same feeling about the Texans as I had about Baltimore last week.
I hear you.
You're embarrassed. Seahawks are coming off of a couple monster wins. You know, everybody looks at them. Everybody's telling them how great they are.
Right.
Their defense is nasty. They can go into a building. You know what, Mike, if I had a million in the middle of the table and had to push it one way or the other, I guess I'd say go Seattle. But I may not touch this game, Bruce, is what I'm saying. But I will tell you this. If the Texans have any guts at all and are what people think they can be, today's the day to do it at home. The place is going to be rocking. To me, it's the home game of the year for them. It really is. I don't care who their rivals are. They must respond after a humiliation last week, or this city's going to blitz them, and they're going to be under fire all year long, especially with the way Andrew Luck's playing. You know what? My gut tells me, my heart tells me Seattle. My gut tells me you're going to see the Texans play like the Ravens did last week.
Well, they better. They better. And I agree with you. And, look, you were right about it last week. Hey, I'm going to ask you this one just because we're going out in Westchester. The Giants and the Chiefs. The Giants, you know, his brother dies on Monday. And on Sunday, they literally didn't even show up for him on the field. Now, that wasn't necessarily their fault or his fault or anybody's fault. But wouldn't you have felt, where in the heck is this team now?
Yes, and I have all year. And Bruce, I remember in 2007, they started out 0-2, and everybody in the country was laughing at them. And we were at ESPN doing all our studio stuff, and they were getting into it. They'd given up almost like 90 and 100 points or some of the first two games.
That's right.
Had the Giants, and we laughed, and everybody wanted to fire Coughlin. They went on and, you know, were the best road team in the league and went on and won a Super Bowl and beat the undefeated Patriots in the 2008 game. Well, the difference is it's not that they're losing, it's the way they're losing. This is a different team. They don't run the football. Eli's careless because now he's got the pressure to carry a whole offense. People are starting to complain, and I can't get any pressure from the down four that I'm used to getting. When they're great, their front four mauls quarterbacks. Now, I go on a radio station in Kansas City every Friday morning.
Right.
And I told those guys, I said, you better be careful because this is a Tom Coughlin team. I said, I know Kansas City's for real. That's a good team. And that building is going to be rocking. But I said, you better be careful because if you think you're going to get the same Giants team you've seen the last 3 weeks, this is a team where the coach's job feels like it's on the line. Players are going to feel like their job's on the line. The New York Giants are not going in to Kansas City and going to lay down. So take that in for what it's worth, and people that want to bet this game, Kansas City's a really good, fast football team. But I'm telling you, I'll be as shocked as any game in this league today and this weekend if the Giants get blitzed like they get pounded like they did last week. If this team doesn't show up this week, considering the pride and the head coach, I will be absolutely flabbergasted that they didn't go in there and play well. I'm not so sure the Giants can't go in and win, even though they're not very good. Everybody's going to pick Kansas City.
Right.
But I would be careful if you're a Kansas City fan to think that you're going to walk in this football game. The Giants are eventually going to break out and show up. And what better place to do it on the road when nobody's going to give you a chance to win?
Yeah, and I don't think Andy Reid's going to let that happen either. Listen, you know, because he knows. But let's go to this next game.
And Andy's familiar with Tom. He plays him two times a year for a decade or whatever. I think Chiefs will win, but I'm telling you,
it's going to be close.
It's going to be a blowout.
I think it's going to be a close game. May come down to a kick. All right, here you go. Great. Now, here's a game, the Patriots and the Falcons. It's on tonight, so everybody's going to get a chance to see this. The Falcons have looked anything but like the Falcons have looked in the last two or three years. The Patriots are 3-0. Now, they haven't played anybody yet, that's for sure. And the Jets should have beat them, in my opinion. But this game, you know, I'm so scared of this game, I can't even give people a really good idea of what I think's going to happen. I feel like if the Falcons don't show up, if they go 1-3, their season may be in jeopardy of being almost over.
Yeah, I agree. Where is this game? I don't know why I'm struggling.
It's in Atlanta. It's in Atlanta.
That's right. Okay, that's it. I thought it was. I'm going to tell you the difference, and here's why. I rarely in a game that's a pick'em. And this is the truth for me, Bruce, and it's been like that since the guy took over. When Brady and Belichick are involved, it's one of those games that I'm not sure of. I don't pick against Brady. I just don't.
Yeah.
That's been that when I always, all things being equal for me, when I'm like, gosh, this game, they're at home. Because if the Atlanta Falcons, if they were on the road, it'd be an easy pick for me. They don't play well on the road.
Right.
And then they don't. But now after going to Miami on the road, and they were a bit embarrassed last week, even though it took a last drive for Miami to win, they're not a great road team. They're at home. They will respond because their season may be on the line. The Saints are going to run away with the division if they beat the Miami Dolphins and the doggone Patriots take care of Atlanta. They're a different team at home, there's no question. But the great equalizer is Brady. You look at the personnel. Atlanta's personnel is so much better than New England's, and they got a great quarterback. But the number 12, I'm still picking. I don't know what's the spread. They're 3-point favorites at home or somewhere.
No, it's actually a pick game.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. I didn't know if it was 2 or 3 points, but it is a pick'em for me as well. But with Atlanta's season being on the line, New England's on some smoke and mirrors, but they got a great quarterback. I think Atlanta can win the game at home, but I don't. In my pick, I don't pick against Brady in a pick'em. I'll take Brady on the road because he finds ways to win.
Right.
But the Falcons should show up and realize if they don't win today, they're going to be in a chase mode the whole season. It's at home. I understand why people would take Atlanta in this football game.
Right.
Probably safe. I don't know if it's safe, but that's a fair pick. But, man, in a pick'em, number 12 in New England's pretty good.
Hey, one last game, Sean, then we got to say goodbye. The Denver Broncos, this is the biggest number I've ever seen in the NFL, 59 points. And, by the way, the Falcons are 3-point favorites. I was looking at 2 days ago.
That's what I thought. Falcons are 3 points. Atlanta was a 3-point favorite. So that's if you're picking against the spread, I lean towards Brady. I always do.
Yep. Now I'm taking Denver right now, -11.5. I love Denver in this game against the Eagles. The Eagles still are not tackling on defense. They're really not that good. You know what the total is in this game though? 59 points. When's the last time you saw 59 points as a total? I can't remember.
So the what are the Broncos favored by?
They're favored by 11.5. I'm taking Denver for like 4 stars. I just like them. They're just a much better team than Philadelphia. But that total, if you had to go over or under, which way would you go? And we got 30 seconds left.
Even if Manny puts on a show and they roll up 40.
Yep.
And with the Denver's got pretty good defense, I'm not sure they'd give up. I'd take the under.
Okay.
Just to think about getting to 60, I'd probably take the under, but I like the Broncos. Now, if all of a sudden the quarterback for New England is they're accurate throwing the ball, you could see a 40.
I hear you, Sean.
I'll take the under and I'll take Denver.
Sean Salisbury, thank you for coming on the show as always. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can get him at Sean Unfiltered. We'll see you soon.